text number 14 today. Kim nastat kathaya gopya katha kathayata para yati asma bhirvina kalo yadi tasya tathaivana kim nastat kathaya gopya katha kathayata para yati asma bhirvina kalo yadi tasya tathaivana kim nastat kathaya gopya katha kathayata para yati asma bhirvina kalo yadi tasya tathaivana. Yati tasya tathaiva na Yadita kalo Yati tasya tathaiva na Matajis. Kim nastat kathaya gopya katha kathayata para sma bhirvina kalo tasya tathaiva na. Word to word translation. Kim, what use? Naha, for us. Tat, about him. Kathaya, with discussion. Gopyaha, oh gopis. Katha, topics. Kathayata, please narrate. Apara, other. Yati, it passes. Asmabhihi, us. Vina, without. Kala, time. Yadi, if. Tasya, his. Tatha eva, in the very same way. Naha, ours. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Why bother talking about him, dear gopis? Please talk of something else. If he passes his time without us, then we shall similarly pass ours without him. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami points out that the gopis here subtly indicate that Lord Krishna spends his time happily without them, whereas they are most unhappy without their Lord. This is the difference between him and them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti adds the following commentary. Considering themselves different from other women, the gopis thought as follows. If other women are together with their lovers, they live. And if they are separated, they die. But we neither live nor die. This is the fate Providence has written on our foreheads. What remedy can we find? So I request blessings of all the devotees who are seated here, my equals, my seniors, so that we can speak something on this most elevated topic. Some days back, His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhu, when He spoke on the first verse of this chapter, He was saying how Lord Balaram can easily carry the weight of all the material creation, all the universes. It's like a mustard seed for Him. He can also very easily kill the demons. But the weight of Krishna's message to the gopis is unbearable even for Lord Balaram. So when we read the atrocities of Hiranyakashipu, how he kills brahmanas and all, you know, sometimes to small children it can appear very scary. Sometimes when I look at these sections of gopis talking with Krishna and expressing their emotions for Krishna, I feel these are the scary sections, where some of these emotions, they are so pure. I don't have any experience of these emotions, and yet there is a particular service that we have to speak on these shlokas. So these are very intimate talks between gopis and Krishna. It's very difficult to speak on these topics. But at one place, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that when he is talking about the talks between gopis and Krishna, he says, actually these talks are very elevated and they are not meant for the common masses. But he says, if we don't explain it, then the misconceptions about the relationship between gopis and Krishna, which are already there, in one sense we are furthering them. So although they are very intimate talks and these subject matters are very special, they require a lot of purity, but he says, with that intention of clarifying things, we'll speak on these topics. So in that same mood, we'll try to speak a little bit about what is happening here, although we don't have any qualification and we don't deserve to sit here, but by the presence of all of you, I feel I can speak a few words. Chapter 18 of the Bhagavad Gita is the last chapter of the Gita. So this is apparently something that Krishna wants to give towards the end. And the chapter title of the 18th chapter is The Perfection of Renunciation. So if you see from shloka number 1 to shloka number 12 in chapter 18, Krishna speaks on the topic of Tyaga. What is Tyaga? What are three types of Tyaga? What exactly is Tyaga? What is the difference between Tyaga and Sannyasa? So in 18.4, when he starts off that topic of Tyaga, he addresses Arjun by a very special word. Throughout the Gita, he has addressed Arjun by different words like Kaunteya, Mahabaho, and so on. He is trying to encourage Arjun to face that difficult situation. But in 18.4, he uses a special word. He says, Purusha Vyagra. So Vyagra is a Sanskrit word for tiger. So now, amongst all the words that describe the power of somebody like Mahabaho, great armed one, or you who belong to Kunti's lineage, so you are supposed to be very tolerant, determined, and so on. But Purusha Vyagra means, oh tiger amongst men. So it's quite relevant that he calls Arjun by the word tiger. He's trying to give a message there that now the message that I'm going to speak is the message of Tyaga, is the message of renunciation. It's not an easy topic. It's not something that common man will just sit and understand. What is Tyaga exactly? To renounce something takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of courage actually. The whole atmosphere is about accepting, enjoying, sometimes even on another's property. But when Krishna wants to start the topic of renunciation, he gives the highest kind of prodding to Arjun. He says, oh tiger amongst men, now I'll speak a topic. Please be prepared for this topic. So that shows us how renunciation is very tough. And to that end, in the Vedic scriptures, there is encouragement for charity, yajna. So in a systematic way, in a cultured way, a person is taught how you should give some of your possessions, some of what you earn to the Supreme Lord. Develop slowly the mood of renunciation. But sometimes even when you are doing that, so first of all everyone is trying to covet, and then it's good to give, and then we are being taught to give to the highest person. But even as somebody is doing that, which is actually the medicine, still we may be renounced from the objects that we offer. Yes, in a yagya we offer some grains, milk, ghee and so on. Dana is also about money, sometimes about property. So a person might get interested into dravya yagya. He is giving objects in charity. But within that also, he develops attachment for name and fame. So the activity is an activity of renunciation. But within that also, very expertly, man finds out an opportunity for attachment. How is that? That when I donate something, please mention my name very clearly. Let people know that it is I who donated. Yes. So it's very interesting how, you know, Krishna is trying to encourage directly to Arjun and indirectly through the Vedic scriptures and the processes of yagya, dana, tapa, na tyajam, iti chapare. He's trying to encourage it. There is never a time when we should give it up. But within that also, a conditioned soul finds out some opportunity to get attached. And he says, well, I would like people to know that it is I who donated. The fourth canto mentions about King Prachina Barhishat, who was so expert in conducting so many sacrifices. So he would conduct one sacrifice after another. However, he was so attached to it that, you know, an expert preacher like Narad Muni had to come up with a very extensive allegorical story, and in a very roundabout way he slowly convinced Prachina Barhishat that actually this is not good for you. This is not good. This does not serve the original purpose of yagya. So he was doing one yagya after another, but the hope is some pleasure, some name and fame in this life, and some rewards in next life in the form of reactions for punya. So it's very difficult actually to develop renunciation. And even if people develop renunciation for objects, the renunciation of the attachment to name and fame does not go away. So why are we discussing this? We are discussing this in the context of the gopis, that the gopis have exhibited renunciation. In the previous shloka, shloka number 12, they said, Mataram, Pitaram, Bhratrin, Patin, Putran, Swasrun Api, Yadarthe, Jahima, Dasharha, Dustyajan, Swajanan, Prabhu, Dustyajan. For ordinary people, even giving money is very difficult, but still, some rich people, some charitable people, they give money. But the attachment to my parents, my family members, is more subtle, it is more intense. So they say it is dustyaja. It is very difficult to give up, but they are saying we gave even that up. Their donation is not of money, their donation is not of land, their donation is not of some small flowers or something to Krishna. They have offered their very selves. They have renounced their possessions, they have renounced their connections to the family, they have even renounced something as subtle as shame. What will people say when they see us going in the middle of the night? So it's very intense actually to understand that renunciation is very difficult. And the gopis have gone to the highest level of renunciation, where it's not dravya yagya, we could say it is sarvasva yagya. Me and mine, whatever it is. It's so easy to offer mine, it's very difficult to offer me. But they are, whatever it is, it's all yours. So, in 10.29.20, Krishna teases them. Krishna says, this is a translation, not finding you at your home, your mothers, fathers, sons, brothers and husbands are certainly searching for you. Don't cause anxiety for your family members. And what do the gopis reply? Similar reply in 10.31.16. Dear Achyuta, you know very well why we have come here. Interestingly, they call him Achyuta. So that's also, Achyuta is somebody who never fails from his position. So they are trying to remind him, you are Achyuta, you are Krishna. And we came in order to serve you. So how can you desert us? Dear Achyuta, you know very well why we have come here. Who but a cheater like you would abandon young women who come to see him in the middle of the night, enchanted by the loud song of his flute. Just to see you, we have completely rejected our husbands, children, ancestors, brothers and other relatives. So it's very, although it looks very ordinary, it's very special. Now generally, you know, it is this whole thing we are discussing to understand how giving a donation is not for the benefit of the receiver, but giving a donation is for the benefit of the donor. I should develop some detachment to the things that are entrusted to me by the Supreme Lord. When I came, I was empty-handed. When I'll go, I'll be empty-handed. Meanwhile, Krishna has given me certain things, but I become possessive, so I should give it up. So donation, giving, charity is important for the donor. And so it is said that donation should ideally, this is not hinting at anyone, ideally it should be an anonymous donation. That when we give, not only we give what we have, we also give up our attachment to what we have. So it should be an anonymous donation. Cultured people understand this. So, you know, a very cultured donor would not want his name to come. A cultured person, if he does some help to somebody, he would never again want to recount. You remember what I did for you? Do you remember last time I helped you? Yes, so this is culture. How you do not talk about what you have done. Now sometimes what happens is, when the other party is really, really unexpectedly non-reciprocative, even cultured people, you could say, they are forced to speak about what they have done for others. We would not usually do that. It's very difficult to remind somebody of the good things that you have done for that person. But Lord Ramchandra, we see in the Ramayana, when Sugriva forgot about his end of the promise. So 4 months Lord Ram and Lakshman, they are on the Prashravan mountain. Today it's called Malyavant. And they are in a cave, they are just waiting, knowing that it's very difficult in the rainy season for Sugriv to find out Sita. Krishna has Ram has done his part, but they are just waiting. Well, maybe it's very difficult for them, so we'll wait for the rainy season to subside. And it subsides, but there is no indication from Sugriv. So although it's not good to talk about what you did for others, but even somebody like Lord Ramchandra, who is Maryada Purushottam, yes, he knows Maryada. Who else knows Maryada better than Lord Ramchandra? But he calls Lakshman and he says, go to Sugriv and tell him, we had a pact. I did my part. I reunited with him, with his wife, but he has forgotten his part. And then he tells him, you go and tell Sugriv that the vilest person is the ingrate person, the ungrateful person. So when somebody does something good for you and you don't reciprocate, Lord Ramchandra is telling in that instance to Lakshman, say, he's the worst of all. So go and tell Sugriv, he has not done his part. So in one sense, you know, Lord Ramchandra is reminding Sugriv, you remember what I did for you? So it seems in certain situations, although culture prohibits us from doing this, but when the other party is long forgotten, they are like dumb or something, they... in some, you know, amnesia, just forgotten. He's just enjoying. Sugriv is just enjoying. He forgot completely. There is no indication, there is no signal, there is no message, there is nothing from him. So then Lord Ramchandra also, who is Maryada Purushottam, in one sense we could see, he crosses that Maryada and says, do you remember, you have to do something for me now that I did something for you. So here also, gopis, they are talking about what they did for Krishna. They are telling him, you know what we did for you? Mataran, Pitaran, Bandhun, Bhratrin, Putran, Shwasuran. We gave up every single family member. We gave up shame, fame. We gave up every social consideration. So do you understand what we did for you? Although it looks, how can somebody speak about his own glorification? But we should understand, this is at a peak of intensity when somebody is forced to speak about his own exploits. In this case, his own sacrifices. Their own sacrifices they are speaking. So we should understand, this is not out of some self-glorification, like a donor wants his name to be written. Let people know what I did. The gopis are not speaking out of a sense of self-glorification. It is frustration. It is pain. You do so many things for somebody and there is not a hint of reciprocation from him. In fact, sometimes he teases you. Oh, what are you doing here? What is the need for you to be here? So it pains actually. So gopis, when they are speaking this, it's quite reflective of their frustration in the heart. There is a common saying that when you sow the seed of expectation, you only get the fruit of disappointment. So gopis, they have actually experienced it. All they wanted is a little reciprocation from Krishna. He's already spoken, ye yatha mam prapadyante, but won't work. So we'll take one small example to understand this, that if a diseased person is in pain, he has some bodily problem and he goes to the doctor. And the pain is so much, it's maddening. So he sees the doctor and tells him, I have tremendous unbearable pain here, please do something. And the doctor says, yes, I will come, 5 minutes. And he goes away. And now the patient is waiting for the doctor to come. So definitely, because the pain is there, that's the reason why he has chosen to see the doctor. And when the doctor says, I'll come, the pain, the disease is increasing. So the pain is increasing. But after some time, let's say after 5 minutes, the pain, I would say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the pain is less about the physical pain. The pain is more that he said he will come, but he didn't come. The doctor said he will come. So where is he? He went in this direction. Is he there? He sent somebody. Just look if he's there in the aisle, somewhere near. Is he talking to somebody else? Please remind him he's supposed to come. I'm in extreme pain. So previously it was maddening physical pain. Yes? Imagine you have a big wound and you go to the doctor, you go to a hospital and you're waiting for a doctor. So it's crazy. But now when he says, I will come, in one sense, you experience some relief in the heart. Yes, everything will be all right. Given a few minutes, the doctor will come and set it all right. And now you are waiting for the doctor to come, but he does not come. So now, the pain is not the physical pain. Now the pain is emotional pain. Now the pain is, he saw me. He saw how painful it is. He saw how it's such a big wound. He knows there is nobody else in the hospital who can treat this wound except him. He told me he'll come and now he's not coming. What happened to him? Did he forget it? Does he not want to do it and still he spoke he will do it? Is something wrong with me that maybe I should not be here, I should be in some another? Can you understand the different emotions that are going on in the heart of a patient who's eagerly waiting for a doctor, he's suffering unbearable pain? You know, this is the pain of betrayal. If you did not want to treat me, you should have just told me, we don't treat such patients in this hospital. Just go to another hospital. Yes, I would have gone somewhere else. You said you will come. You said you will treat me. So something similar is happening to the gopis. They went to the highest limit of dana, tyaga. And Krishna said, I will reciprocate. I'll come back. So he said once himself when he left with Akrura to Nanda Maharaj in that fighting arena, he spoke. He sent a message through Uddhav, I will come. And now through Balram, he's saying, I'm come. But where are you? I just see messages coming. I'll come. But where are you? We want you. This is something that is happening in the gopis' hearts, that they are not much concerned with the messages that come. And in one sense, at least Balram, he looks different from Krishna. But Uddhav, He would look quite similar to Krishna. He would wear clothes that are worn by Krishna. His ornaments would be the Mahaprasad of Krishna. So it is mentioned when Uddhav, before this, when Uddhav came to the Nandagram, in the morning when the gopis woke up, they saw the chariot. They thought, hey, this chariot does not belong to Vraj. This chariot belongs to some... So when they saw that chariot, for a moment, they thought that maybe Krishna has come from Mathura. And then they saw Uddhav, and Uddhav also, lot of, you know, he looks similar to Krishna. So can you imagine, you know? So then you see a doctor, and he almost looks like the doctor who's supposed to cure you. And then when you go close to him, you understand, no, he's not a doctor. So Krishna is really intense actually. He's just playing, you know, in a proper sense. He's churning their emotions more and more, more and more. He's trying to increase the intensity of their emotions. So when ordinary people, they want something from Krishna, Krishna says, okay, I'll give it to you. There's some procedure for it. Do this, this and this and I'll give it to you. But when somebody says, I don't want anything from you, I want you. The Krishna says, well, that is a different thing. So we see in the lives of so many devotees, you know, Dhruv, he wanted something from Krishna. He did not want Krishna. He wanted something from Krishna. But when he saw Krishna, he said, I don't want anything from you. Krishna said, no, you take it. Yes. In one sense, he forced Dhruv. Because his original desire was to want something from Krishna. He didn't want Krishna. But for the gopis, you know, they don't want something from Krishna. They say, I want you. So he says, well, that's going to take a lot of struggle. Even in case of Rukmini, we see how Rukmini sent a message. She didn't want anything from Krishna. She wanted Krishna. So how did Krishna appear in his life? He made her wait till the last moment. She had sent a messenger. That messenger did not come. She had said, tomorrow I'll go to that Devi temple and then you can kidnap me. So she goes, she's watching. He's not there. There is no sign of the messenger. She goes, takes darshan, does puja, comes out. Till that time there is no darshan there. So she does not know what is happening. She's also, is he going to come? Is he not going to come? So think about it. And at just at the last moment, in the nick of time, Krishna appears, whisks her away. Gajendra, he's offering prayers. So he's offering quite intense prayers. He's in pain. He's tried everything. Everything failed. Now he's offering prayers. Last moment, it takes a lot of prayers. So he's increasing that intensity. In the heart, we can understand how Gajendra is becoming more and more intense. And then towards the end, when he offers his last prayer, then Krishna comes. So it seems the way Krishna operates is different from the way we would expect him to operate. Krishna is not looking at the quantity, Krishna is looking at the intensity. And for most of us, for intensity to develop, it takes some time. For most of us, right at the first moment when we come and offer our prayers or we fold our hands to Krishna, usually, this does not apply to all, but usually, it's not very intense. But when we are in a tough situation, then we come and offer our first prayer and we feel, well, he's the Supreme Lord, he can do anything. But it does not happen. Then we offer a second prayer, then we offer a third prayer, then we offer our nth prayer. Still nothing is happening. Then actually the tears come. So please, are you there? I heard you are there. But from a practical experience, it does not seem you are there. Please, 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 please listen to me. So, it's very intense how Krishna is, in one sense, there is no indication. He just keeps repeating that same line. There is one line, I will come. It's my promise, I will come, I will come. He does not say the reason for not coming. He does not say, well, you know, this is the monsoon time, so I'll come. This is the spring time, this is a war that is going on in Mathura, that's why I'm busy with the war. There is no reasons. He just says, I will come. So it's quite frustrating. You know, you get the same reply from four different sources. I'll come, I'll come, I'll come. And the pain is increasing. And the intensity is increasing. So since we have never had experience of somebody who loves another person with such one-pointed focus, no matter what,
It's very difficult for us to understand these kind of emotions. That is the difficulty here. Otherwise, there are some girls who are offering their words of love to a young boy. Yes, in one sense it's very simple. It's very something that is experienced by many people in this world. But the tough part is, no matter what, yatha tatha va vidadhatu lampatam, no matter what you do, the pain is increasing, the fire of separation is increasing, but they just keep offering their hearts more and more and more to Krishna. One time I had read one line. So this philosopher is saying, and those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who could not hear the music. Yes? So imagine there is some music going on and there are some people who are dancing. And then another stranger walks in, but he is deaf. He can't hear the music. So what are these doing? What are these people doing? Oh, somebody is raising his hand like this. Somebody is raising his hand like this. They are having smiles on them. What's going on? There's nothing special happening. There's no occasion here, yes? So somebody who does not hear the music, for him it is very difficult to understand why somebody is dancing. Similarly, when we see gopis, they speak words about themselves. They say, we did the most unthinkable thing. There is nothing that we own now. Everything that we had, we offered to you. And you are such an ungrateful person. You don't have any heart. You don't even reciprocate. You don't even send another line of the message. Just one line, keep repeating. Do you understand? Are you there? Is it our mistake? Is it your mistake? Give me some hint. Give me something more. But there's nothing from Krishna. So it's quite maddening actually. So if you know that pain is increasing, and let's imagine just for a moment that a doctor does really come. So because of that long anticipation, because of that intense eagerness to see the doctor, you know, now actually the patient, you know, he will pay less attention to what the doctor will do now. Yes. Now it's just an extreme level of happiness seeing the doctor. Finally he came. Yes. And when he was not there, it was just thoughts about him. So that is what I feel is, you know, when we say how there is union in separation. There is greater union in separation. So when the doctor was there, you say, well, he's there, alright. But when he's gone and that pain is increasing, there's so much thought about him. Now you forget about the medicine. Now you forget about the pain. Now you think, how could he betray? How could he say yes and then disappear? So it's very difficult to understand this, how the gopis are so pure. No matter what Krishna does to them, they are just fixed up. In the case of Dhruv and Uttanapad Maharaj, in one sense Uttanapad Maharaj also, when Suruchi told Dhruv, get down, Uttanapad kept quiet. So it's very understandable that when there are two wives, then one wife will not be so affectionate to the other wife's son. So in one sense, Suruchi's behavior is expected. When Suruchi says, get down from that lap, you can't sit here unless you take birth from my womb, it's expected. What do you expect from a stepmother? But what about father? Was he a stepfather? No. He was a real father, yes? So at least Uttanapad Maharaj, there was some expectation from Uttanapad Maharaj. At least he should have said, Dhruv, evening you come. Morning, you know, she is there, I can't say much, but at least he should have shown some dissension on his face. I'm not happy with this. There is no reaction from Uttanapad. There is no stopping, consoling, patting, delaying. There is no reaction. Uttanapad is just as... So imagine Dhruv's plight. One is when the mother, the stepmother says, get down, and the father is as dumb as a wall. Yes? So sometimes words hurt us. There is no doubt about that. But sometimes silence also hurts. And sometimes silence hurts more than words, because when somebody speaks harsh words to you, he's at least acknowledging your presence. So he says, I don't like you. I hate you. When somebody just keeps quiet looking at you, staring at you, you are wondering what's happening here. Is something wrong with me? Is something wrong with him? Is something wrong with the situation? Should I improve? Should I... What to do now? So Dhruv also, when he walked away, I'm sure there was some pain because of Suruchi's words, and there is also some pain because of the father's silence. So the gopis are also, no, speak something. Tell us we are not worthy of you. Tell us the city women of Dwarka are more better than us. Okay, it's alright. We'll accept our fate. But you keep sending messages through Uddhav and Balaram. They come from Dwarka and they say, I'll come. Their frustration is really not an ordinary thing. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in CC, he takes up this point. He says, because the gopis are the highest devotees of Krishna, obviously they must be selfless. You cannot be highest if you are selfish. But he says, when the gopis would see Krishna, they would become very happy. They would derive great pleasure. So this means, you know, they are deriving pleasure out of the object of their service, ashraya and vigraha. So ashraya is supposed to serve vigraha. Krishna is vigraha and ashraya is Radharani and the gopis. So how can gopis derive pleasure by Krishna? It seems to be selfish that, you know, they are deriving enjoyment. A servant means he serves. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami takes up this point in the CC and he says, but they are the highest devotees. Krishna has expressed that. So they have to be selfless, but nevertheless it is true that they derive happiness out of Krishna's pleasure, Krishna's darshan. So how to understand this? So he says, it appears like a paradox, but it's very simple. There is only one solution for this paradox, he says. He says, the reality is, when the gopis dress themselves for Krishna's pleasure, Krishna becomes very happy. And as true servants, when they see Krishna happy, they also become happy. So their happiness is not out of seeing Krishna. Their happiness is out of the happiness of Krishna. So there is a small difference there. It means they do not derive happiness out of Krishna's beauty. They derive happiness out of Krishna's happiness, which is derived out of their own beauty. So that's how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, even if it is mentioned that gopis and Radharani become very happy on seeing the Krishna, it is still the highest limit of selflessness. It is not selfishness. And that's why he says, you know, there is no other explanation to it except pure love. That even when there is some happiness, that happiness is also a subset, a small part of the happiness of the object of your service. And then he quotes another explanation for this. He says, and this happiness is such amazing happiness. Generally, when I become happy by seeing somebody, talking to somebody, hearing from somebody, I would want that more and more. Yes, I want that enjoyment. I want that happiness more and more. But one critical difference is, sometimes when this happiness acts as an impediment in service to your beloved, they even hate the happiness itself. So I love somebody and then I'm serving that person and then he is happy and by his happiness I am happy. But if my happiness obstructs my service to him, let's say, you know, he's very happy by my service and I become happy, and then because of my happiness there is a delay in my seva to him, I pray that I do not even want the happiness that I'm getting. And already that happiness is a subset of the happiness of the object of the beloved. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, please do not have a doubt that the gopis and Radharani, their happiness is in any way selfish. It's just some reciprocation from Krishna. In this present shloka, the gopis are saying, we know what to do now. There's no reciprocation from him. He is passing his time happily without us. Now we will also do the same. We will pass our time happily without him. So this sounds like some, you know, tit for tat. Aapne mere saath aisa kiya, ab hum bhi aapke saath aisa karenge. Is it not? And this is very worldly talk. This is how people behave in this world. You did this to me, now I will do this to you. Yes? And interestingly, most of the times this kind of a reciprocal dealing is not for the good things that people do to us. Yes? Very rarely do we say, oh, you did so much good for me, now I will also do so much good for you. Usually we tend to forget that. We write our losses on stone and we write our profits on sand. Yes? So you do some harm to me, I remember it till the last moment. Say, aapne ek bar mera bahut nuksan kiya tha. I'll also do the same to you. Yes? So it's very, you know, worldly talk. It does not seem like, oh, you just now explained the mood of the gopis is the highest and they are like pure selfless. So how can they talk such worldly talk? You know why they talk this worldly talk? Because they do not see Krishna as the Supreme Lord. They do not see Krishna as otherworldly. So their worldly talk is worshipable for us, even though it sounds like an ordinary talk. Aapne mere sath aisa kiya, abhi hum bhi aapke sath aisa karenge. Yes, it's worldly. Why? Because they see Krishna as one of them. So one poet is writing, Sad bhakta Shri Krishna preyamsam bandhum atmanah manute na jagannatham Krishna gopinatham sada vidu gopya. It's interesting how, you know, we sing Jagannath Ashtakam. Jagat Nath. So this poet is saying, the gopis, na jagannatham, they don't know Krishna as Jagannath, they know him only as Gopinath. He say, we don't know anything about your powers and all that, we just know you are our protector. So when we are in distress, you have to protect us. Na jagannatham Krishna, gopinatham sada, viduhu, gopiyah. So, we have a choice. Learning something from this high topic, we have a choice that, you know, we have one mind, and the tendency of the mind is to get attached, and the tendency of the mind is to get attracted. So, just like a rich man, he has a big estate. In 13th chapter, Krishna, Gita, 13th chapter, Krishna calls Kshetra, the field of activities, Kshetra, estate. Yes, I have a big estate. So the mind is like the manager of that estate. Now a good manager takes good care of the property and sometimes he expands the property to the credit, to the benefit of the owner. And a bad manager will spoil the estate. He'll spoil the property. The owner will face losses. So, in one sense, you know, we have given the power of attorney, you know, that power to rule. You rule my life. I have given this power to my mind. So, if it is a good manager, he takes good care of that property. He says, this mind should be attached only to Krishna. And that is the supreme fortune of the gopis. Whereas for most of us, the mind is like the bad manager who says, well, you know, this property can be used in many other ways, and then we develop attachments, attractions for so many things and people of this world. It causes a lot of heartache. So this is the difference between the ordinary living entity and the Vrajvasis, that all of us have relationships, but they have chosen Gopinath as the supreme object of the relationship. On the coming Sunday, we have a supreme opportunity to rekindle that long lost relationship. We can again pledge our love to Gopinath. And one small point which I felt is, you know, just like Lord Krishna, when he was sought after by Lord Brahma, but when he was trying to seek him on his own, there was no indication. But then he heard the word tapa 3 times, and then he did tapasya. So similarly, you know, here gopis are also undergoing a lot of tapasya. Yes. There's one tapasya of the body, and there's one tapasya of the mind, there's one tapasya of the spirit soul. So gopis are actually undergoing a lot of tapasya, you know, they're crying. I was thinking it's very difficult to speak about this conjugal mood. Conjugal mood is when one girl loves another boy. It's very difficult to talk about it to anybody else, is it not? And can I say that it's very difficult to talk about, for a girl, if she has some affection for a boy, it's very difficult to talk about that affection to the boy's elder brother. Is it not? It's very difficult to, you know, out of shyness, you would not do that. But can you imagine the frustration of the gopis? They're so frustrated with Krishna, it's so painful for them. They tell Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna, you know what, we had so many feelings for Krishna and Krishna also said, I will come, but he's not coming. It's like something which is very difficult to do. Yes, but they did it. So you can just imagine how it's peaking. Slowly, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening in the gopis' hearts. So it's a lot of intense tapasya actually. So sometimes we talk about sahajiyas. Radhika Vallabh Prabhu was saying how sahajiyas are those who want salary but they don't want to work. He gave a Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's example. So I was feeling that those who are always talking of Radha Krishna, Radha Gopi, Krishna Gopi Leela, you know, they feel Bhagavat Saptaha is not about Dhruv, is not about Prahlad. It's only you just talk about the Ras Leela. Yes? There are some people. So they should also be made to read these sections also. Yes? So you are always talking, you know, that only Radha Krishna Leela, only the gopis, you know, Ras Leela is the real substance of the Bhagavatam. You know, all the sadhana bhakti of Prahlad and Dhruv and Ambarish and all. Oh, that's like lower. Yes, the highest is Ras Leela. So if you are really interested in the interactions between Krishna and the gopis, this is also an interaction between Krishna and gopis. You read this also, how the gopis are crying, how the gopis are burning, how the gopis cross all limits of sanity and even reveal their conjugal affairs to the brother of their lover and say, please do something. We might not survive by the time he actually comes. So if these so-called, you know, people who are very much interested only in the Ras Leela sections, Krishna and the gopis and Krishna, how they meet in the middle of the night, Sharad Purnima and all that, their heart, you know, they should read this also. How Krishna, before playing the Ras Leela and after playing the Ras Leela, he made them boil. Yes, that's how Tapta Kanchana. This is molten gold, it's not gold. It takes a lot of heat to melt a metal. That's what they are undergoing in order to get that status of having intimate association with Krishna. But usually people will just focus on the dancing pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. They don't talk about this. They don't talk how Krishna churns the hearts more and more, makes it more and more painful. But of course in that separation also there is a union. So, you know, not necessarily that Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. Krishna is definitely never the order supplier. Yes? Demigods sometimes can become order suppliers. You want something from the demigods, you offer a puja, you do it properly, the mantras are good, everything is good, the Brahman is good, tithi and all, you know, you work out all the technical details, you get it in return. But try asking from Krishna. Krishna does not supply your orders. But he says, I reciprocate with the desires. So when we read about these sections, and you know, these are the highest devotees. So wait a minute, these are the highest devotees. They had a desire. What was that desire? That desire was not selfish. Their desire was selfless. They gave up everything, yes? And they want nothing from Krishna. They want Krishna. So what more pure desire that a devotee can have? This is the purity. No matter what, they are stuck on that desire. We want Krishna. So now, we can understand when Krishna does not reciprocate with impure desires. I can understand that. But here it is purity, yes? This pure desires. So Krishna does not reciprocate even with pure desires. So that ye yatra mam prapadyante is for what then? When you offer an impure desire to Krishna, Krishna does not fulfill that. When you offer a pure desire to Krishna, Krishna does not fulfill that. So what does Krishna mean when he says ye yatra mam prapadyante? It's quite baffling. So, in order to understand, does Krishna reciprocate or not, first we'll have to understand what is Krishna's definition of reciprocation. When we ask something from somebody and that person gives it to us, we feel, oh, this is reciprocation. But sometimes we may ask something harmful from somebody and when that person in his all good intentions gives it to us and it harms us, is it good? No, it's not good. So, there is some sense in asking something very concrete from somebody and there is some good sense in that person giving it to us, but finally what is the outcome of it? That also is something to be considered. So what does Krishna think as fit reciprocation? The way it seems in my limited understanding is Krishna may offer himself, Krishna may not offer himself. Sometimes Krishna offers something that belongs to him. It depends on Krishna. But it is always for the benefit of the receiver. It is always for the glorification of the receiver. It is always for the upliftment of the receiver. So the thought process of Krishna is never to do what the benediction seeker asks, and it is never to not do what the benediction seeker. There is no fixed rule. So if I ask something from Krishna, will Krishna give? I don't know. If I ask something from Krishna, will Krishna not give? I don't know. Then what will Krishna do? Well, Krishna has this one rule. Whether I give or whether I don't give, will it be helpful for him? Yes, then I'll do what is necessary. Srila Prabhupada was such a dear devotee of Krishna, and he had this one desire. I want to give Srimad Bhagavatam to the masses. Kalau nashta drisham esha purano arka adhunoditah. So this is the sun in the Kali Yuga. The sun in the Kali Yuga is not this orb. The sun in the Kali Yuga is this book, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada wanted to give us. He had that desire. He said when he went to the US, that's what he said. He said, his god brother asked him in Shantipur, so I heard that you are going to USA. So Prabhupada said, no, I am not going to USA. Srimad Bhagavatam is going to USA. I am going with him. We just heard recently. So, can you imagine how much importance is Srimad Prabhupada giving to Srimad Bhagavatam? But somehow, by the inconceivable will of Krishna, Prabhupada could not complete Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was his life's mission, to give Srimad Bhagavatam. When he went to the US, he printed pamphlets which says, India's message of peace and goodwill. He carried 200 sets of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So how dear is Srimad Bhagavatam to him? Somehow, yes, because of some emergency service somewhere, because of some reason that only Krishna knows, and that is the wonderful relationship between Krishna and Prabhupada. His one desire was not to become a big acharya. His one desire was not to become a big guru. His one desire was not to start. Yes. His one desire was, let me give the Srimad Bhagavatam to the Kali Yuga masses, because this is that which will give light. Somehow he could not complete the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. It's very interesting how somebody as dear, visibly demonstrated how dear he is to Krishna. His will also Krishna did not fulfill. He took him away before he could complete his Srimad Bhagavatam, and now his disciples have completed it for us. So it's very interesting. What is Krishna's reciprocation? We do not know what is Krishna's reciprocation. It's very difficult to understand Krishna's reciprocation. Yes, but one thing we know, it's always for the benefit of the person who seeks that reciprocation. So Krishna's plans are always the best plans. So sometimes he will churn, sometimes he will give more than what we want. Dhruv, Prahlad did not want his father to be killed, but he got killed. So Krishna is amazing. But one thing we should know, that it is never for his benefit, it is always for our benefit. So these are some thoughts that I had on this verse today. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai.